Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This is the broadcast for March 8th in the year of our Lord, 2024. We're breaking down the State of the Union address given by Joe Biden last night. It was a clown show, to say the least. He literally doubled down and wants to bring back Roe versus Wade murder agenda. He literally blames everybody on January the 6th that we're all telling lies about it, and he's telling the truth. He lies. Prove it, Joe. Release all 41,000 hours of video. Let's go ahead and put Capitol Police thugs on the stand under the penalty of perjury and see if people crack and tell the truth, Joe. You want to throw down? Let's get it done, buddy. Let's just tear it up and do it. Let's have complete transparency, complete accountability, due process of law, discovery on both sides. Let's do it in front of the nation, buddy, shall we? Or are you chicken, Joe? Are you afraid to get that done, sir? You afraid to tell the truth? That's what I thought. He'll just babble at the mouth with no accountability. He then went on. Dr. Bradley is with me. Dr. Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, is an incredible website. His weekly webinars are incredible. His collegiate series to preserve the nation is just top notch, top shelf education, video, audio, bookwork, presentations, just a collegiate series. To preserve the nation, all available at freedomsrisingsun.com. Check it out. Dr. Bradley, here's a couple of more clips from Joe Biden. Here's 1510. He lies and lies and lies and lies about the economy. Says everybody's all happy, inflation's going down, wages are going up, everybody's just super optimistic about the economy. He blatantly lies, and none of the Republicans do anything but clap and celebrate. It's just a love fest. A disgrace. But here he is on the economy. Check this out. 15.
It takes time, but the American people are beginning to feel it. Consumer studies show consumer confidence is soaring. Buy America has been the law of the land since the 1930s. Past administrations, including my predecessor, including some Democrats as well in the past, failed to buy American. Not anymore. On my watch, federal projects that you fund, like helping build American roads, bridges, and highways, will be made with American products and built by American workers.
Okay, go ahead and stop that. What do you say to that, Dr. Bradley? I mean, you couldn't blatantly lie more. There's hardly anything made in America, and he knows that everything he's using, wearing, hardly any of it's made in America. He knows the truth. He's flat out lying to the face of the American people, and the Republicans give him nothing but applause, a thunderous applause, doctor. Uh-oh, are you there, Dr. Bradley?
I'm here. Little pilot okay, error on my part. I'm sorry.
No problem, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. No, I mean, they're all applauding the idea that, everything we ought to have made in America, but we've done everything in our power to give China most favored nation status. We've basically offloaded or offshored all of our steel production, virtually. There's a few little steel production companies left. But by and large, we do not have steel production done in America anymore. And as you think about that, building a 60-ton battle tank that we're going to need on some of these big wars that are going on, we got to access that internationally from people that are not our friends. But the Republicans, they say, yeah, we ought to have everything made in America. It's not. I mean, Reagan signed the most favored nation status with China that has basically offshored everything. But all these infrastructure things that he's talking about rebuilding our roads and our freeways and our bridges and how it's going to bring, you know, lots of prosperity to America. You know, I read Article 1, Section 8, Clause 7. There is authority to establish some roads, post offices and post roads, but these vast freeway systems. In fact, when I was a kid, we didn't have freeways. It's weird, really weird. There were some.
Yeah, you just had highways, right? You drive through town after town after town after town. Think Route 66, right?
Well, think about it. Absolutely. But if there had been some major highways created, like the Pasadena Highway and stuff like that, in Southern California, but the fact of the matter is, a national interstate system had not been created. And Eisenhower, who'd been over in Germany, you might remember that thing in the 40s. Anyway, he liked the Autobahn system, and he thought we ought to have one in America. And so he brought forth this idea, you know what, for national defense, we need this national interstate freeway system that the federal government would basically fund and install. And it was done on the fabrication of a national defense thing. And part of the charade on that was, well, you know, if our airplanes are out and they can't find a place to land, there ought to be sections of this freeway that are long and straight that they can land their airplane on. So you get these mile-long stretches of freeway that are, you know, flat and straight, and oh, we can land our planes. All of this was a lie, fabricated. Republican president, again, Eisenhower. And so we play this game. And since, I mean, literally, I remember the first time I ever drove on a freeway. I mean, in fact, I probably, some of my friends used to, let's just put it in that terminology, used to try to be the first person to ever drive on a portion of freeway by either driving around or through a barricade when they were first setting them up and say, I drove the first one on this, you know, so on. It was that new when I was young. And now it's kind of like getting a microwave
in the 70s, huh, Doctor?
Trillions of dollars could be spent on these things that we don't have.
That's
We just don't have.
But we're going to borrow ourselves into oblivion. So listen to Joe at the 17 mark. Here he is.
If any of you don't want that money in your district, just let me know. Modernize our roads and bridges, ports.
Keep going.
Stop that.
And airports, public transit systems. Removing poisonous lead pipes so every child can drink clean water without risk of brain damage.
All right, there you go. So he ties it to you being able to drink clean water. He ties it to, if you don't want the money, doctor, then we'll give it to somebody else. We're passing out money like it's going out of style, right?
This is a very real threat. This is a very real threat. And this is exactly what will happen when for example, I'm just trying to think. There's the state that receives the least federal funds right now for their total budget. It's in the range of 35% of their total budget. I mean, I just gave a talk up in Idaho, and I had looked it up for that. Idaho gets 41% of their total state revenue from federal money. So when you get in the way of a federal program, when you say, no, we want to balance the budget, let's just say, they say, okay, fine, we'll cut off your 41% of your revenue stream. And, we'll just eliminate your educational component from what the federal government sends you, or your transportation component. See, what it is, it's extortion. And they are extorting us with their own money, telling us that just as Boyden said, if you don't want that in your district, you just tell us. We won't send it to you.
We'll give it to somebody else. You'll still be on the hook for it there, but you know.
There's a threat there. Look, you stand in our way, you're not going to get free money. And that's why the Republicans are applauding. You look at what happened with the Obamacare thing to get it through, to get cloture on it in the Senate. Obama went to two of the holdouts. One was in Louisiana, and he went to the senator there, and he said to her, you know, there's got to be something in your home district that you need. And she said, well, we could use this. Fine. Why didn't you say so? We'll throw it in. Went to Nebraska, did the same thing to the senator there. The senators were bought and paid for by extortion money that they were saying, or bribery. You know, there's a similarities on both
sides. That's how it works. That's what happens. And we're exposing it to the world.
He's threatening to say, we'll take away the goodie box.
Yeah, it's the stick in the carrot, right?
That is abominable. It's abominable.
It's criminal. You know? He has no authority, by the way. He doesn't control the purse strings either, so he's making promises that he can't keep. Here he is again at the 20 mark.
I say to the American people, when America gets knocked down, we get back up. We keep going. That's America. That's you, the American people. It's because of you America's coming back. It's because of you our future is brighter. It's because of you that tonight we can proudly say the state of our union is strong and getting stronger.
There you go, Dr. Bradley. You can pause it. You want to start there? Dr. Bradley, think about that. The union could never be stronger. It's all because of the American people. It's incredible. It's awesome. And, there he is. He's got a brilliant speechwriter, though. He's basically included everybody in his, quote, big tent, except for Donald Trump.
Well, Well, Donald was the focus of the whole thing. I mean, honestly, if we want to be truthful, that was the whole focus of this, getting Trump put to the sidelines and getting Biden reelected. And if Biden had been out in the world, that in this bare knuckles, rough and tumble political world out there, people would have been able to face him on these things. Right now, he's in front of a very, very powerful audience. He's trying to get Republican and Democrat votes. He's got the Republicans on the hook for, oh, we're going to use American-made products. And he's got the Democrats on the hook for, we're going to, socialize medicine, whatever. And so,
well, hold on. So you want to speak of socializing medicine? That's where he goes exactly next, Dr. Bradley. Okay. You know what? You're almost a prophet. You haven't even heard it, but that's exactly where he goes next. Here he is at the 21-21 mark.
Tonight, I want to talk about the future.
What are they saying there? Does anybody know? Did you hear that, Dr. Bradley?
I didn't. It's a chant, a mantra of a pep rally kind of thing.
That's right. Anyway, I couldn't even understand what they were saying. But nevertheless, here's Joe now. He responds to them.
There are possibilities that we can build together. A future where the days of trickle-down economics are over. And the wealthy and the biggest corporations no longer get all the tax breaks. And by the way, I understand corporations. I come from a state that has more corporations invested than every one of your states in the United States combined. And I represented it for 36 years. I'm not anti-corporation, but I grew up in a home where trickle-down economics didn't put much on my dad's kitchen table. That's why I determined to turn things around so middle class does well. When they do well, the poor have a way up and the wealthy still do very well. We all do well. And there's more to do to make sure you're feeling the benefits of all we're doing. Americans pay more for prescription drugs than anywhere in the world. It's wrong, and I'm ending it.
All right, you getting that, Dr. Bradley? So he's ready to go ahead and just pay for all your drugs, buddy.
Well, I guess I don't have any benefit. I don't take any. No. So here's the deal. Well, I don't know. I don't want to get off on a tangent on the pharmacologically driven nation that we live in right now. But a lot of these things, he speaks about how he's going to increase corporate taxes from 21% to 28%, I think is what his goal is. And how the middle class is going to get a tax cut and we're going to reduce the deficit. I got news for you people. All of those are interplay dynamics. You can't say we're reducing taxes to the middle class and reduce the deficit. You can't say you're increasing the taxes to the corporations without increasing taxes on the middle class, because what does the corporation do with the taxes they get? See, the whole premise of this is incorrect. We are trying to borrow from Peter to pay Paul, or however it goes, and the fact of the matter is they should be cutting the expenditures and rather than just moving the revenue stream from one source to another. There ain't no free lunch. If you're going to pay for these things, if you're going to buy these things, if you want all of these goodie boxes, somebody is going to have to be taxed. And that tax usually has, in spite of what he says, a trickle-down effect. If you say you increase the corporate tax to 28%, who's going to pay that? The corporations will pay it, but they'll pass it on to their consumers. That this whole thing is falsely based. It's kind of like an outcome-based education test. It's got bad answers because they're not giving us the correct answer. And the correct answer is reduce the outflow. And that can only be done by restoring what the original limits and bounds of government were. 80%.
You're exactly right, Dr. Bradley. Now, here's what's interesting. He then goes on and attacks Big Pharma, tells you that he's just saving millions, he's decreasing the national deficit, and that he's doing all these incredible things, and he blatantly, literally lies, attacks Big Pharma, and then he says this. Listen to this.
I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but if you want to get an Air Force One and fly to Toronto, Berlin, Moscow, even Moscow, probably, and bring your prescription with you, and I promise you I'll get it for you for 40% the cost you're paying now. Same company, same drug, same place. Folks, the Affordable Care Act, the old Obamacare, is still a very big deal.
All right, go ahead and end that. So he's promoting Obamacare. He literally invited you on Air Force One. What do you think of that? Don't you feel good about that, Dr. Bradley?
I doubt that I'll get my Golden Bust invitation, but I got to remind people, a Republican conservative, quote-unquote, in quotes around all of this, John Roberts is the clown that authorized Obamacare through the Supreme Court in violation of, first of all, what the power to tax was. He says, well, we have the power to tax, so therefore you can tax this and create Obamacare. Well, first of all, the bill said it is not a tax. It specifically denied what the specific wording of the bill was, saying it was not a tax. But Roberts twisted that and said, well, it is a tax, and the Constitution says we can tax. Therefore, we can tax anything we want. But the specifics of that are so... It's bizarre to me. You only have the power to tax for what you have the power to spend for. That's inherent in the Constitution. You can tax to coin money, but you can't tax to decide what color shoelaces I wear or how I get my health care. See, these people that say, oh, man, we got the Republicans in office, we're going to be okay. Roberts is supposedly a conservative Republican. But he foisted Obamacare on us. Without his ruling, Obamacare would not have
Well, and by the way, he had no authority for that ruling. It was activism from the bench. He should have simply said, Congress hasn't been clear on this. This goes back to Congress. Congress, if you're going to own this, do it, but I'm not participating. But he literally doubled down and changed the law. He codified a law that's not really a law that they don't have authority to pass at all. But then he goes crazy. He doubles down on women, in supposed defense of women. I don't know if you know, but today's International Women's Day. So he doubles down on women, and then he launches a new program without authority from Congress. Here it is.
The obvious. Women are more than half our population. But research on women's health has always been underfunded. That's why we're launching the first ever White House initiative on women's health research, led by Jill, doing an incredible job as First Lady.
Go ahead and end that. You want to respond to that, Dr. Bradley? He just launched a new government program, buddy.
Well, okay, so there's so many things wrong with it. It's sick and wrong on so many levels. I mean, think back about when Hillary was given the government health care thing, being the first lady. I mean, what is she, suddenly one of the experts that's going to be? I mean, we are. What do? You elect somebody and you get a package deal. If Michelle Obama gets elected, we get Barack in some way and form. I mean, tell me where there's any health care authorization for the general government to be involved. I mean, just point it out in the Constitution. I'd love to read it. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been through the Constitution, but it's not there. And the federal government now is doing a thing on women's health care. It's as bad as what he did with Orrin Hatch in the Violence Against Women's Act, where they made federal offenses. I'm not suggesting violence against women is a good idea or acceptable or in any way, shape, or form, but it's not a federal authority. And so they made federal offenses out of those things. And by the way, that was when he and Tara Reid had their little interaction in the hallway. You know, when he was offending a woman in a very personal way, and it never got adjudicated or brought to... I mean, she just basically was cut adrift. But the fact of the matter is, Joe Biden, heavens, people, he has opened up a whole avenue of federal power. There is no authority for women's health care in the general government. And now he's going to have his wife, a companion that came into office with him when he, quote-unquote, got elected. And suddenly now we're going to have a whole new government program that's been launched during a speech.
But it's worse. He just launched another one, too. You know, the government took over mortgages in America, too, and created, in my opinion, serious moral hazard. But now he's going to take away some of the guardrails and protections for the loans that are made on behalf of the taxpayer. Here he is with launching another expenditure.
Eliminating title insurance on federally backed mortgages. When you refinance your home, you can save $1,000 or more as a consequence. For millions of renters, we're cracking down on big landlords who use antitrust law, who break antitrust laws by price fixing and driving up rents. We've cut red tape so builders can get federally financing, which is already helping build a record 1.7 million new housing units nationwide. Now pass.
Okay, go ahead and cut it, Dr. Bradley. There you have that. Now he's literally launched more government spending. They're going to build housing. They're going to take away the title insurance and all these different things. They're going to basically squeeze anybody in the mortgage line so they have a tough time making a living. That on top of inflation, you're going to have a lot of job losses and a lot of banks failing over this kind of stuff. And you're going to have the government be the only go-to answer. The Hegelian dialectic worked to perfection in this case. What a disgrace, but he's launching that. That's going to cost us billions of dollars, doctor.
Again, so many areas, not enough time, but here's the deal. Constitutionally, tell me where this is authorized. Constitutionally, tell me where government has the authority to interpose in private handshake deals or handshake and a kiss or contract, whatever it is that you do business with. How can they interject themselves into it? Constitutionally, they have no authority. Let's say that all of these federally funded mortgages go and there's no insurance on it. So what happens when they fail? Oh, by golly, it's going to be taxpayers that pay for any losses in that. We're taking on huge liabilities. And so he's offering rights. The thing is that when you're talking about creating rights, you know, anything other than God-given rights, when you create a right, you create a responsibility to fulfill that right for someone else to do it. Okay, so any and all of these things that he's doing is intervening in stuff that was try, buy, sell, and fail, guaranteed in America.
You're
because
right.
Government doesn't involve itself.
Every and we've only got a minute left.
Step.
We've only got a minute left, so I want to get this last clip in. He doubles down and promotes education. Here it is, doctor.
First economy in the world. We need to have the best education system in the world.
I love it. The Republicans love
and
it.
And I suspect all of you want to give a child, every child, a good start by providing access to preschool for 3 and 4 years old. You know, I think I pointed out last year that children coming from broken homes where there's no books, not read to, not spoken to very often, start school, kindergarten or first grade, having heard a million fewer words spoken. Well, studies show that children who go to preschool are nearly 50% more likely to finish high school, go on to earn a 2- and 4-year degree, no matter what their background is.
All right, we're about out of time. Go ahead and stop that. Dr. Bradley, what do you say? He's getting ready to launch more money for education, sir.
Well, there's no question about it, but this is the 10th point of the Communist Manifesto. You know, government ownership and control of education is exactly where we're going with this thing. It's another socialist program. There is not a shred of authority for the general government to be involved. There isn't any. I'm so happy that that's the case. But every single one of these programs is unauthorized by the Constitution. There isn't a shred of authorization for that. And so you look at the humanist manifestos and you look at the communist manifestos and how they've been merged and blended together to basically take over not only private property and interactive business things, but educating our children so we raise up good communists again. I mean, holy cow.
It's flat out out of control, ladies and gentlemen. We've covered a lot of the State of the Union. I got one or two clips left, and then we got a great topic to discuss. Dr. Bradley wrote an incredible article. It's published at libertyroundtable.com as well. Check it out. We'll get to that in a minute. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. At the State of the Union in Washington, D.C. Thursday night.
Fellow Americans, issue facing our nation isn't how old we are. It's how old are our ideas.
Before a joint session of Congress, Biden added his life experience has taught him to embrace things like democracy, freedom, and a future based on decency and dignity.
Do other people my age see it differently? The American story of resentment, revenge, and retribution. That's not me.
The Republican rebuttal from the youngest woman serving in the U.S. Senate, Alabama Republican Katie Britt.
One thing was quite clear, though. President Biden just doesn't get it. He's out of touch.
While speaking for Montgomery, she said Americans deserve a leader who is not diminished. Supporters of former presidential candidate Nikki Haley are more likely to vote for Biden over Trump. That's according to a new Emerson College poll released Thursday, which found 63% of Haley's supporters are backing Biden after she dropped out of the GOP primary on Wednesday. Sweden is now part of the Western NATO alliance. The Swedish Prime Minister came to the U.S. Thursday to deliver the news. The move is welcomed by U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who says Russian President Vladimir Putin should be mindful.
We see again and again and again that everything Putin sought to prevent, he's actually precipitated by his actions, by his aggression. And there's no clearer example of that than Sweden becoming a member of this alliance.
Prepare to go to bed early Saturday, as daylight saving time is almost upon us. On Sunday at 2 a.m., clocks across America will spring forward an hour. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, two more quick clips from Joe Biden. Here's the first one.
It's time to raise corporate minimum tax to at least 21%.
Yeah, he wants to go ahead and raise taxes, and the Republicans...
So every big corporation finally begins to pay their fair share. Also,
all right,
want
go ahead
tax-
and cut that off. There you have it. So he's just promoting more and more and more taxes. I don't know how that's going to work with his inflationary spend and policies in the first place, but he has no accountability whatsoever. And then he goes into his famous commercial about Snickers bars and potato chips and shrinkflation. Here he is, doctor.
Commercial on Snickers bars. You get charged the same amount, and you got about, I don't know, 10% fewer Snickers in it.
Yeah, you got fewer Snickers in your bar.
I'm also getting rid of junk fees. Those hidden fees at the end of your bill that are there without your knowledge. My administration announced we're cutting credit card late fees from $32 to $8.
All right, end of that. Okay. Dr. Bradley, you want to respond to that? He's going to force corporations who can't charge what they want for late fees or for whatever else and stuff. He's going to mandate that. He's just initiating more and more and more government, literally edicts from on high. He's like a dictator. Where does he get the authority to tell a private company what they can charge for a late fee or not? He's going to cut it from $32 to $8? Where does he get this authority? He's literally off his... He's crazy, doctor.
Well, again, he's not playing with a full deck. Actually, every single aspect of the things that were discussed today came out of a fabrication box. I don't know what they want to call it. It's the magic box of the White House, I guess. I don't know. But these things are completely without any constitutional authority. And again, everybody, and Republicans and Democrats, seem to think that there has to be a government solution for everything. And they're going to impose, and the president is becoming an elected monarch. That's how it's being treated. We got rid of a monarchy, and again, most people that are on the earth today don't remember that whole issue. But they were walking away from somebody with monarchical powers that was going to be able to dictate, direct, impose. I mean, it's since basically the Civil War, it's becoming more and more and more. And then we had this huge windfall dictator thing happen during the 30s and 40s with FDR. But nobody's really backed off any of it. It just hasn't. And so they're claiming the authority to do anything, and because we don't know what the Constitution says, everybody goes, well, you can't fight City Hall. I guess that's the way it is. It's not the way it is. But these Republicans that are sitting there on their hands, or even if they're applauding whatever they're doing, they're complicit and compliant in every aspect of this with slight shades of difference. Everything is being railroaded into bigger and more powerful and more expansive and more tyrannical government. It's a boy, oh man alive. I mean, I wished I'd have been able to listen to this guy in advance, but my blood pressure probably would have taken a real hit. I don't know. I've got real good blood pressure, but this could change it.
And the rest of it is nothing more than a clown show, too. I'll find a couple of clips and maybe play them next week if there's a couple of extra clips. But I literally covered the first 40 minutes for everybody. There's about 28 minutes left. It was about an hour and 8 minutes, but there's tons of claps and tons of, you know, raucous, cheerful, happy, excited behavior from the clown audience, which is really Congress for the most part. It's a disgrace, ladies and gentlemen, but I wanted to give you that and just kind of highlight what he said, what Donald had to say about it, what I have to say about it. Again, you can go to my comments yesterday's second hour. I do my own hour State of the Union address. It's about 50 minutes highlighting how I see the nation and what I think it takes to correct nation adrift, as we certainly are. Dr. Bradley, you wrote an incredible article called COVID Con, California, Scott N. Bradley. It's available at libertyroundtable.com, freedomsrisingsun.com, and a bunch of places as we start to get traction with this incredible article. But you break down not only the lies, but the criminal activity of these people. Doctor?
Well, the title of it was to tie Everybody thinks, oh, California's off their rocker. Of course, we all believe that, and we know it, and it's a fact, okay? But what we tie in on this thing, we start off with, yeah, California's whacked. 2.5 years ago, they put all this COVID-con nonsense out, and, oh, it's just exactly what every other state did. It's exactly what the nation did. It is the agenda, the storyline. It is the script of what was done. Now, this is kind of an op-ed piece, if you will. I mean, it's about 1,500 words, I think, so it's not the longest thing. But to some people, if you can't read the back of a business card, it's going to be a long thing. Most business cards are blank, by the way, on the back. But at any rate, this brings out, each paragraph kind of points out a portion of the facade. And it builds on itself. The idiocy that happened throughout this has just been, it was completely a contrived outcome on everything. And I believe, personally, that there were churches, there were governments, there were businesses, there were stakeholders like Gavi and WHO and all those kinds of places that sat at a planning table and put the rules of engagement down. I believe it involved representatives from churches because they were so involved and complicit, and certainly governments. And certainly, there, I mean, the whole script was outlined. Now, again, if I had put every single resource in there and documented with quotations from the World Economic Center or the World Health Organization or the CDC or some church that you may be your favorite church, whatever, everybody was on the same page, but to keep it in a reasonable, you know, 3-page kind of format, I couldn't put all those quotations down. But the evidence is absolutely overwhelming that this thing was a planned, contrived, and carried out, implemented step, huge step, in the direction of tyranny that we're never going to get back. The economy is never going to recover what it lost. Education is not going to recover what it lost, based on not only lost opportunity, but how they've modified the education system, where mush for brains seems to be the order of the day. You know, where institutions like Harvard, more interested in diversity, equity, and inclusion, and apparently people that plagiarize other people's work, institutions that have had a generations, centuries long, churches that have had centuries long experience of standing with different principles, they rolled over on everything. And none of it's being given back. And the legislatures continue to basically give credence and legal standing, legal color. It's not really ever standing, because they violate the Constitution at every whim. Let's just take Utah, for example. Some years ago, Utah violated their own Constitution, which specifically says, it's not just inferred, it specifically says that even in an emergency, no department of government can take up the duties assigned to other departments. The executive cannot become a legislator. A few years ago, Utah says, no. In an emergency, the governor can become a legislator. Well, now they're giving color to that by making laws that authorize these kinds of things to happen. It is absolutely a charade, a facade. It's a gulp of tyranny, and I'm not so sure that we can ever come back from it, because the churches, the governments, the institutions, the educational systems, everything seems to be on the same page. By the way,
I don't know that we can come back from it, Doctor, but if they try it again, I hope we have a different response. In other words, we can wake up and realize the awful state that we find ourselves in, and we can take drastic action for appropriate change. Turning to God always gives hope. Turning to family, the fundamental unit of society, the traditional God-ordained family with a male and a female at the head, documenting there's two genders, standing with the truth and standing with historical relevance, and bringing back those wonderful things by our obedience to God's laws, a moral and a religious people and things. I just want to point people to the real hope. That is the hope. Everything else is nothing but cannon fodder.
Well, every single one of us, though, has a role to play, Sam. I mean, we can come to God. There's no question. Our families can be brought that way, everything like that. But in the middle of this whole thing, I talk about some of the medical problems that were involved. And the fact of the matter is that people that are medical professionals, they supposedly have been down a path that would allow them to discern the flaws in some of the stuff that's happened. But they didn't, almost without exception. There's a few, there's a few individuals.
Go ahead and skip the break. Dr. Bradley, please continue, sir.
Well, there's a few shining examples, rare indeed, in the medical profession. But most of them were silent. They didn't examine. They promoted everything but the viable solutions. And there's, I put a quote in there, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a dedicated anti-Nazi theologian. He was a Lutheran that lived in Nazi Germany. He died at the hands of the Nazi regime. He wrote this, and basically think about this. If you know something, you have a duty to speak out about it. And Sam, we've been doing this since day one on these particular issues, but this is his quotation. I think the medical profession needs to do a reassessment, and the politician needs to, the academics need to, our families need to. But here's the statement he made. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. People, if we stood idly by, if we administered remdesivir because it was the modality directed by the institution or by the by the CDC or whomever, when we knew that everybody that took it died, then that's a little bit off in that it was probably in the 90-something percent that died. But the fact of the matter is, if you've got such a high death rate, you ought to think about it. If people in my age group have a death rate of 98% plus of using a ventilator, intubation through the mouth and the lungs with the tubes in the lungs, if you're having that kind of death, figure something's not quite right at it. Years and years and years ago, I was, and it's a long story, but I had an awful lot of interface with the medical industry. And so I spent a lot of time in operating rooms and in intensive care kinds of units and in anything that was life support, okay? And what I saw more often than not was when a physician was doing something and the patient cratered, what they were doing was causing it. And if they stopped and the patient made a comeback, well, what they were doing was causing it. And if they went back and started doing again what they were doing, and the patient cratered, the physician was causing it. I mean, this was something that was, it's intuitive. If people realize that what they're doing is causing the problem, they stop doing it, and they look for another solution. That's not the only thing we talk about in this, obviously, because the academics and the politicians and every single aspect of this was faulty based. The warp speed thing. Government stepped in where it had no right. The setting aside of all protocols, everything that was involved in safety, set aside. Experimental jabs, couldn't be called vaccines in the rights of sense, were given without people having informed consent. That violates protocol number one in the Nuremberg protocols. I mean, you've got to have informed consent. Nothing happened right. And it's just, to me, unless people start to realize how far off base we were, well, and then at the very end, I talk about, maybe I make things a little bit too pointed for some people's comfort zone, but here's the last little few lines. Regardless of the universally repeated mantra, the phrase that the jab is safe and effective is and was simply marketing drivel offered as a profit-driven slogan. A godsend, indeed. Perhaps if your God is Luciferian, satanic, and diabolical, that may be accurately stated. And no one who foisted this upon mankind has offered even the slightest breath of an apology for the death, destruction, tyranny, and suffering they inflicted upon their fellow man. Abominable. Buckle up. We ain't seen nothing yet. That last
And you're right about that, and I think the big key to this, Dr. Bradley, is when you hear Joe Biden in this address last night, you kind of really start to say he's agitating for spending us into oblivion, government complete takeover, launching new programs, just socialism crazy. He's going to back us into signing the WHO agreements, which means we'll turn our, quote, health sovereignty over to the United Nations or to the WHO kind of an idea. I mean, this is just absolute disaster that they've set the stage for.
Well, look, Sam, just for a second. People need to connect the dots. This asinine proposal that the federal government get involved in women's health. Please, God help us. It's a plea to God. Think about this. Look what they did with this COVID con and the health it did to the nation, to the people, to everything economically, everything educationally, everything freedom-wise. The government stepped in and took control. If they step in and take control of women's health, it will take divine intervention to keep our wives, our daughters, our mothers, our sisters healthy. They everything they touch withers. It's mush for brain stuff. We've got to start realizing that. And when Biden gives this big plea for, oh, we're going to take care of women's health, that's a threat, in my opinion, because we have 4 years of experience on what they did when they throttled everything they touched into destruction. And so, you know, you can do that with the economy. You do this with whether it's mortgages or whether it's corporations or whether it's minimum wage stuff. I mean, think about this. Government thinks they've got to intervene in everything. Think about this. There is no authority, and the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, specifically says states cannot intervene with agreements, I mean, contracts. You know, if I come to you, Sam, and I say for $10 an hour, I'll make widgets for you, that's you and me talking. And that's it. Government can't intervene in that. Not constitutionally, not morally, not ethically, not natural law. None of those. None of those things. But everybody says, oh, no. Government's got to make sure that everybody that works gets a wage we have determined. And at every aspect, it's a violation. This little article I wrote is kind of a, it's a, like I say, an op-ed. It doesn't give tons of quotations and documentation and stuff. It's food for thought. But if we take that food for thought and we expand it into a vast other array of things that government intervenes in, if you've got a brain that's still firing on any synapses left in your head, you're going to say, holy cow, what are we doing to ourselves? Society.
And you're also
going
to want to go and read this COVID Con California article. It's at libertyroundtable.com. It's also at freedomsrisingsun.com. Check it out. It's a great article to kind of break down really what they've done to us and put it in a 3-page summary that you can share with your loved ones. And a lot of people are kind of wondering what's going on. This will kind of catch you up in a hurry of how they violated our laws and literally taken actions that are criminal. Okay, we need to deal with this criminally, because that's really what it is. By the way, happy International Women's Day or Women's Day. They say 15,000 howling feminists will be descending on the UN. And there's a huge headline that says battle lines at the UN Commission, poverty reduction versus sexual rights. The Family Center for Family Human Rights or whatever, c-fam.org is... who put this together, and they literally go into all the details about how we, the United States at the UN, are pushing for all this transgender, all this perverted murder and abortion and everything else, and other nations are trying to deal with poverty, and we're forcing this agenda down their throats at the UN via Joe Biden and team right now, Dr. Bradley.
Well, just stop and think about this for just a moment. Sexual rights. I mean, think about God ordained everything that brings men and women together, that gets stability in the environment, in relationships, in families, in society. All of those things are based upon a godly gift, okay? And what society has done in the name of women's rights, I mean, really, who was behind this stuff about abortion that was canonized, if you will, with Roe v. Wade in 1973? It was guys like Hugh Hefner and Larry Flint. I mean, these guys were abusers. They're perverts. They're men that want to be able to have anything they want when they want it. And if a child results, they want to kill the child. And they spun it in a thing that says women have a right to be perverse and everything, and they have a right to kill their child. And therefore, it's a woman's issue. But actually, it was these men that have, and again, I use them as kind of iconic figures that everybody should know, you know, the publishers of some of these, this perverse doctrine. But these men were looking to avoid responsibility for their actions, and they spun it so that women think, oh, you deny me that. Now you're denying me the right to be promiscuous, and you're denying me the right to choose my future. No, you're being abused by seducers. And silly women have adopted that, if you go back and read about silly women in the scriptures. But the fact of the matter is, it's all a spin on a perversion of something that is an absolute gift of God. And you know, we've talked before about how the in the Muslim faith, 25 years ago, everybody was up in arms about the female genital mutilation. We're now mainstream. Medical centers in the United States are promoting the amputation of genitals. And this is a situation where they say, oh no, this is gender-affirming. We are absolutely mutilating our children. And it's acceptable in society. How perverse it's become. And again, I think it went on steroids 4 years ago when we lost our brains and turned the nation upside down on this COVID con. There's so much that hinges on so many of these things. And society has just, basically, it's unraveling at a cyclonic speed. It's like a tornado coming through. So
it is, yeah, and the only solution is turn to God Almighty, turn to your family, the fundamental leader of society. We're not going to be any stronger than our relationship with God and our relationship in an appropriate God-ordained family. Those are the keys. Without that, we're in trouble. With that, we have hope.
There's no question. And again,
you're not going to solve
it
in Washington, right?
No, our saviors do not live in Washington. We have a savior. He's set out a plan. And we oftentimes talk about the four things that I say will preserve the nation, restore the nation, all that. You know, first of all, getting right with God. There's a bunch of stuff we could talk about, and we always do about that. We've got to be a more pure-minded people and a more pure people. We've got to come to understand the baseline principles. If you don't understand whether something is constitutional or not, you just are not going to be able. You're going to go off on a women's health tangent or some other of the bizarre cases, warmonger of the world, whatever. If we don't understand those baseline principles, we can't restore the nation. If you get right with God and you understand those things, you better get involved. And once you've got involved, help others to become involved too. Those are four simple steps. I know we're going to be out of time just momentarily here, Sam, but holy cow, we can do this if we will. But it's going to take a lot more friends than we've got now, and we've got to quit listening to the drivel of politicians and State of the Union addresses that are simply a pep rally.
Amen to that. Go check out my State of the Union address yesterday, second hour of the show at libertyroundtable.com. I have a completely different focus than Joe or Donald, just for your educational opportunities. Thanks so much for being alongside for the ride, ladies and gentlemen. It is all about God, family, and country. It is about the protection of life, liberty, and property. It is about testifying that Christ lives and loves us, and he is the author of our liberty and the grantor of our eternal life, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear on that point. FreedomsRisingSun.com is how you can get a hold of the good doctor. Check out his weekly webinars, his constitutional education, his collegiate series to preserve the nation, and more. LibertyRoundtable.com for our website. Check out the show. It'll be up in a few minutes. Loving Liberty.net, our nationally syndicated network. God save the Republic.